you? Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here today. I'm officially panicked about the Bruins. It's official. I was dipping my toe in the water after like the first three games of the season.
The first game of the season.
First one game of the season. I was halfway there. I'm there now. Full alarms, full sirens, full panic, full everything. That was the Philadelphia Flyers last night. They're awful. They're not a good team. They got a couple of good players here and there scattered throughout their roster. They do not have a good goalie. That guy shut you out last night, has been getting absolutely lit up this season. And Korpisalo, I can't believe it, actually deserved better than what he got out there. Didn't see a lot of shots, so it's not like he was great. But Sam Ersson, this kid over the Flyers, has, I think, a save percentage lower than Korpisalo. So, you know, there it is. This was the type of game, getting shut out at home against the Philadelphia Flyers, that makes things, conversations like we were having after the first couple days, first couple of games, it justifies those conversations, I think. I don't feel, and I didn't really at the time either, because it was two bad losses against the Florida Panthers team that you tried so hard to build a roster to go against. But now you're losing to the Flyers. Now you're getting shut out by the Flyers. I don't know what to make of this, but this is bad. This is a bad, bad start. This is not the type of start that you generally think, okay, well, they'll turn it around. They're the Bruins. I don't know what to make of this. I've seen them get off to good starts and flame out at the end of the season. We've been seeing that for about 20 years, let's be honest here. Maybe not that long, but certainly a long time. This is a team that runs out of gas at the end of seasons. It's been going on for a while. They had an older core. We had all the different windows for Bergeron and Krejci and, you know, Chara and all these different guys, you know, these old guys at the end of their careers, and you'd see them at the end of their careers, at the end of these seasons, completely wiped, completely out of gas. I don't remember the last time they got off to a start like this. I don't remember the last time that they looked this inept to start the season. At the very least, no matter what happened the year before, whatever happened in the offseason, whoever retired, whoever got traded, whoever got signed, whatever it was, you'd see a pretty watchable product, if not an elite product, in the last few years anyway. Mm-hmm. An elite product to start the year. They were ready to go. Montgomery had them ready to go. This year, I don't know what I'm looking at. This year, I don't know how this thing is. If not for the fourth line, this team might have one or two wins this year. I mean, really, like that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a team being carried by its fourth line. And that's the part of the team that's not making a lot of money. So I think it's time to turn the microscope over to Jim Montgomery. It's time to turn it over to Don Sweeney. It's time to turn it over to everybody. I think right now is the time. We're 10 games in here. There's 82 games in the season. Now's the time where you have to decide, is this the group that we're going forward with? Is this something that's gonna make it? Are we going to make it with this group? What happened here, and why isn't it working? These things have to be figured out quick.
And it's definitely dissimilar to Montgomery's previous seasons here in Boston, because they were fast starts, right?
Yeah.
And then you can just kind of cruise. And then when you go through lulls, you got kind of the cachet to fall back on from the fast start. Now, no contract, no winning, and you're right. So I open up my Athletic app this morning, and the Fluto Shinzawa story headline. So far, Montgomery has no answers for Bruins stumbles. And that's the reality. This is going to come down on him. Fair or not?
No.
Because I think there's other, you know, issues with this team, certainly scoring and their best players playing like they're their best players,
right,
and things of that nature. But we talked about this on opening night down at Scores. Great place.
That is what it's called.
We talked about it there.
That's what I said most of the show.
That if there was any stumbling,
yes,
it was going to, the contract was going to be an issue. It's in all of sports. It's whether it's a player that needs a contract and he, oh, am I going to be traded? Am I going to be a free agent? And he's scuffling.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a normal slump. It's going to be attributed to the contract and the business and the black cloud hanging over him. And that's where we're going here with the Bruins. It's going to start to really, I think, increase the heat on the seat of Jim Montgomery. And I don't know if that's fair or not. Like, some, you know, is Brad Marchand, A, thinking about his contract, B, thinking about Jim Montgomery's contract, or C, is he aging? Right? Like, isn't that the most likely and realistic scenario?
Absolutely. I mean, it could be all of the above, but I think for sure. You started to see it last year. It wasn't a super productive season for him last year, and now he's barely another surgery. How many surgeries has he had? You know, this is a guy, an undersized guy who's been a great Bruin, and they'll go down as one of the all-timers for sure. But this is an alarming start to the year for him. And really for Pasternak, I would say, too, guys like Zaka, guys like Geeky, guys like Coyle, guys like Frederick, you know, like these are all people we were expecting to take that next step. And they either are plateaued or regressing right in front of our eyes.
And you can't afford, they're not talent rich enough to have all of these people play below expectations.
Right.
Like, you needed at least some constants and probably, as you said, some projected growth from some guys. And you're not getting any of that. And they are bad right now. They're a bad hockey team. And I do think they're starting to press. And I know Montgomery has started to talk about that. Guys are kind of thinking instead of playing. And then by thinking, it's actually adding to the ineffective play. It's adding to the sloppiness. I've told you on defense, I feel like they're always thinking.
Yeah.
I feel like when I watch them play D, they are well, what is that guy? Oh, he already did it. Now what? Oh, he already did that too. You know what I mean? It's like, just go play. And maybe they're not good enough. They also may be an overrated hockey team at this point. Just because you spent a lot of money on Lindholm doesn't mean you're going to get your money's worth out of Lindholm.
Right?
He might not be that guy, which could be unfortunate moving forward because you gave him a lot of money for a while.
Right. Neither one of the Lindholms are really setting the world on fire.
So you got a couple newcomers that aren't living up to your hopes. You got some returning players not living up to your hopes. You got a coach that maybe isn't pushing the right buttons, right? Like there was... when was he pissed off last night and he like covered his mouth, like he covered himself in his papers? Like he's frustrated.
Yeah.
And frustration trickles down. The players are frustrated. So now you just have this whole room of frustration. And I don't want to.
I can tell you when I was frustrated.
The whole game.
They had the wide open net and were piling on and going for it right there. They could not bury it. And then, 30 seconds later, here comes Forster back the other way on a nothing play that ended up being the only goal of the game, really, until the end there. That was frustrating. I found that extremely frustrating. The 5-on-3 I found extremely frustrating. There was a lot of this game.
Oh, yeah, that's frustrating.
That it's just you're watching it and you're going, come on, at some point here, these things. And I know some of it's bad bounces. That happens sometimes. There were a couple of those last night. But that's not an excuse to get shut out at home by Joel Farabee and these Philadelphia Flyers. Like, come on. You're making this kid's Ersons out there. He's not good. He's their starter last year, had a terrible season, and you made him look like Ron Hextall. I mean, this is unacceptable. This is unacceptable play here from a team that should know better, that has veteran leadership, that has goal scorers, that has, I thought, this revamped decor that was going to be able to protect whoever the goalie was, whether it's Swayman, whether they go with Korpisalo or Brandon Bussey, whoever it is. Not going to matter, right? This D group is fine. They're gonna be out there protecting whoever the goalie is. You don't have to pay Jeremy Swayman. Listen, Jeremy Swayman hasn't been great either, so I'm not going to go down that road. But this whole thing is a bit of a train wreck. I mean, it's looking like for Bruins standards anyway, as regular seasons go, this is very bad.
And you're in last place. That's the other thing. And the gap is growing. Like, other teams are establishing themselves, setting it. We talked a little bit about it. Florida settled in after a slower start, other than, you know, taking care of
other
business
than
twice
your ass,
against you. But you start digging a hole that now you're chasing. And if this team isn't dealing well with pressure of individual performances, how are they going to deal with the pressure of collective games lost and starting to create? And the slow thing, you know, is starting to become a thing. We talked about it earlier. Well, you get bigger. Did you get slower? Well, no, you just look slow. I think Razor kind of pushed back on that when we were at scores, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know if they're any slower.
They were having circle skated around.
They look slower.
They do.
I mean, I can find some of those NHL, like where they monitor them, like the sports science things, and you can prove to me they're not slower. They look slower. And Brad Marchand's an interesting guy because I've always had this theory with those types of players that are kind of surprise elite players.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Tyreek Hill, you can lose a step. You know why? Because you started out four steps ahead of the guy.
Right.
Now you're only three. But if you're one of those guys that truly gets everything out of his ability and you start to regress, I think the regression can be fast and it can be off a cliff, right? Like you worked your ass off to be better than everybody else. You didn't have a lot of extra rope to play with. And I just wonder if he's a guy like that. I don't know. Certainly not sure I want to give him a 3-year extension if that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, this has been a problem with this coaching staff and this group and sort of everything else. You saw it when Cassidy was here. You're seeing it start to happen now with Montgomery, and I think that Montgomery's probably not going to go on to his next stop and win a cup like Cassidy did. But that was eye-opening, was it not? I mean, seeing him go somewhere else to a team that it got off to a good start as an organization, obviously, with the Golden Knights. But to go there and to win like that and then kind of, you know, parade the thing up and down Cape Cod like he did, like that was I remember thinking from that, you know, I'm not sure the coach is the issue here. I'm not sure the coach has ever really been the issue. But all the way back to Claude Julien, who won the cup. Like this is a team that I think has some fundamental issues that they try and have been trying all this time to work around and buttress with other things. And when it comes to a season like this with a bad start like this, now it's like the Emperor really has no clothes. Because all the other times you could say, hey, you know what? They might have got bounced in the first round or the second round or whatever it was last year. But look at this great start they're off to. Anything can happen this year. You get sold a bill of goods as a Bruins fan these days. You know, we're selling you hope. We're selling you the hope that they're going to carry it over in the next season and come back with a vengeance. And then this year, the puck to bounce their way, and they'll be going all the way back to the Stanley Cup. Like, that's the hope that you keep buying into. And it keeps working because they hook you in the regular season.
Sure.
You know, they hook you in the regular season, and they drag you to the playoffs, and then, bam, it's over, and the whole thing starts up again. This is now threatening to throw that whole ecosystem into an uproar.
Well, yeah, they're certainly not hooking anybody right now. Is anybody hooked on watching? I was watching last night. I wouldn't say I was overly entertained for much of that hockey game.
That was a brutal game to watch. And by the way, the play I was talking about was when Drysdale blocked a shot, and he was down in front of the net, Pasternak shooting. Everybody's shooting. The Ersson's not letting anything happen. He makes three saves in front of the net, and then a minute later, they come down the other way, and Forster scores the only goal. And I was just, I don't know if that's the time when Monty was screaming. That's the time when I was screaming.
Yeah.
I was screaming in my room, in my living room, like, what the hell is going on here? What is wrong with this team? What is happening here? This is the Philadelphia Flyers, guys. And, I don't know. I mean, this is... It could just be a phase this season. They could start to get hot. I'll believe it when I see it, because right now I see a team that's really going through it here.
Well, I do think they're pressing, and I don't think they've gotten luck at times over the last couple weeks. Like, there's been opportunities, like point-blank range, and you're like, oh, you got to bury that, and they don't bury it.
Right.
And I think that's part of it. But I think more of it is they're not a good hockey team right now. I keep going back to, what are they good at? And you keep going back to fourth line. Well, a team built around its fourth line, not much of a team.
Right.
Right? Like, that's just not how it's supposed to work. That's a complementary aspect of the team.
And they weren't built around their fourth line. Like,
no,
their fourth line just happens to be the one
that's... Their success is built around
the fourth line kind of got slapped together, you know?
Right.
Like, that's usually what a fourth line is.
So, I don't... Like, what do you feel like the answer is? Like, what is the... How do you shake it up? Because... You're laying a foundation of futility right now, early in the season. The opposite of what you've done in recent years. And they're going to start questioning themselves more, not less. And I don't know I think if we asked Razor, don't you think he, based on what he told us opening night, one of his answers would be like, give him the extension.
Yeah.
Like,
and he's tried mixing things up. Like, Kostelec was up on the second line. Koepke was on the third. I think Frederick got dropped down. Brigeau got dropped down. Poitras was out there getting beat up last night. Like,
yes,
you know, you saw some other things happen out there. It's not like he's just sitting and standing pat and waiting for something to happen. He's trying to be proactive about it. But I think you're seeing a lack of, I don't know, talent? Lack of talent with this forward group? I mean,
That's what
it looks like. Yeah.
I mean, if they're going through a phase, a slump, whatever, maybe. But this team feels like the exact opposite of the team they share the building with. One team feels like it's hitting its stride and taking off. And the other team feels like, uh-oh, we already peaked and now we're fading, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're not even going to be hot in the regular season. We're not even going to be hot to start the year anymore. And maybe I'm being overdramatic, but I will say, all the people that said you were being overdramatic after one game...
Apologize.
It's less overdramatic the longer we go into the season. Because guess what? Fluto is questioning it. Jim Montgomery is questioning it. They don't have answers right now for the way they're playing.
No, they do not. And I don't know where you're going to come up with them. I don't know where that's going to happen. I know they've won a couple of games against some bad teams this year. They've now lost games to bad teams. So whatever happens here going forward is kind of a mystery. I don't know what to expect from this team on a day-to-day basis. I don't think Montgomery knows what to expect. I don't think these players know what to expect. They're kind of just flying blind right now. And that's rare.
I don't rule out, like, your guy Swayman gets hot. And Pasta gets hot. And
all of a,
you know what I mean? Like, they have guys.
And Pasta's often not a bad start. He's got six goals already. He's on pace for like 50, but still. I mean,
right.
50 goals and 15 assists, I think, is what his projections are right now. And, so no one's really making it happen.
And Marchand could get hot.
Yeah,
I'm less optimistic of that being a thing and him really having some great stretch of games. But there are guys on this team that you can talk yourself into. If they get hot, they can carry us. And I would start with the goaltender. If the goaltender could carry you through a stretch, and maybe he's the guy that needs to, maybe we need to, you know, get him to the point where we stop saying he hasn't been the biggest problem.
Right.
No. Be the reason you win, and then maybe that's the impetus for a little positive snowball of momentum. Because right now, I just think they epitomize kind of scuffling. I think they're scuffling through everything they do. Offense, defense, goaltending, coaching. I think they're all kind of just scuffling around as a club right now.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Montgomery, after the game, was grilled about this, and here's what he had to say.
I don't know. It just, we're not making plays. We're not doing enough to generate high danger scoring chances. Whether that's a will to go to those areas or, you know, not the right game plan, you know, we're all culpable for not coming out with a victory tonight.
I don't like the sound of that. That's a guy who's got his back against the wall. Doesn't it sound like it? Maybe they're not willing to go to those spots. Oh, well, who's not willing to go to those spots, Monty?
He's frustrated.
A little soft, huh? They don't want to go down there, get their hands dirty. That's interesting. Who are you talking about? What do you mean? I mean, he's not calling anybody out by name, but I think that's probably next. You know, that's the next step of this as his seat gets hotter. And listen,
as he walks out of town,
this is still going on by Thanksgiving. I'm not sure he's still going to be here, honestly. And I don't know if that's 100% fair. You're right. I mean, you gotta put some of this on the players. But this is not working. And when it's not working, change happens. And they're not going to fire the whole team.
Especially when you have a guy who only has months left on his contract,
right.
Not even years. You make it easy. You create the narrative. It's part of why nobody wants lame duck coaches. Nobody wants to be the lame duck coach. No teams generally want lame duck coaches because unless you start like they've started the last couple of years and just put the story to bed with your play on the ice, it opens the door for these kind of questions. But I thought right there, all you needed was like the first 3 seconds. Yeah, I don't know. Like that told the whole story. And soft is a team, you know. When coaches are on the hot seat, apparently teams become softer. That seems like what we're dealing with the last couple of weeks with the Patriots and the Bruins. And that's what Gerard Mayo was doing. If you remember, Gerard Mayo in London answered like 5 questions with, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, who should I ask?
Really inspires a lot of confidence.
I don't know. It just,
geez, you know, what do you want from me? Huh? Give me a break. Well, you kid dupes, you know, give me a break.
We're not quite to Ron Renicki saying, I don't know, who'd you want me to pitch?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Like not asking specific questions, but we're going down that road.
We're getting there, unfortunately, and that's with the status of the Bruins right now. Not good. Not a good situation there. A much better situation with your Boston Celtics, as you mentioned. That team undefeated, hitting the road for Indiana tonight to take on the Pacers. We'll talk about that with Brian Scalabrine, who joins us at 4 o'clock. Also, Gerard Mayo spoke today, gave an update on Drake May, who is still in the concussion protocol. We'll get into that whole conversation as well. But first, Celtics and Pacers tonight. The Pacers team, this is a team that it's on your radar. You had them as one of the potential scary teams against the Celtics.
I did, and I think they generally play the Celtics pretty tough, and Halliburton, they're off to a 1-3 start, I believe.
Yeah.
They have not gotten off to a good start, but you're going on the road to face them in their barn, as they like to say.
They've lost to the Knicks, Sixers, and Magic, who are all pretty good, but the Celtics, I think,
shake
all of their asses.
And also, if I expect the Pacers to be in the conversation to challenge the Celtics, well, then I expect you to be a decent basketball team. I can't,
right.
bad matchup when I keep losing. So, yeah, I don't think, you know, I think the line was 7.5 Celtics. This is one that won't surprise me if, like, in the third quarter, you're in a little bit of a dogfight. I don't think they'll lose. Because we've talked about it, I'm not sure if I think they're gonna lose, but I'm not sure I'm gonna be thinking they're gonna lose too many times, even if it's on the road against a team that I think does challenge them at times.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what's coming on tonight around here locally. Anyway, some good sports nights going on as we have the World Series continuing as well. We'll get to that as the story. Not really so much the Yankees winning, but the Yankee fans being just the most Yankee fan you can possibly be. Tremendous performance there by those guys who will never see the inside of a Major League ballpark ever again, I don't think. And, of course, there's the New England Patriots, who now coming up on a matchup with the Tennessee Titans, are being considered buyers. Where would they have gotten that idea? Where would Jacina Anderson possibly have gotten that idea?
Thanks for listening.
If not for Spin Zone. I mean, listen, this was, and the whole point of Spin Zone is that we take, you know, a truth and we spin it around and, and send it the other way. And the truth here was the Patriots are a bad team. What do bad teams do at the trade deadline? They sell pieces off, right? Spin it around. Andy spun it around. I'm not going to take credit for this. This was Andy's thing. And now everybody's jumping on board the Patriots' buyer's train. That's got to feel good. And that's got to feel good to have a take land like that.
Also feels good. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for listening, Josina. Or maybe Elliot Wolf. Maybe he was the one who was listening.
Right.
And then he made some calls and she caught wind and blah, blah, blah. I don't care how it works, if this is actually happening. Now, some of the people that were retweeting her reports and were being a little greedy, I think, like a lot of T. Higgins photos. That's my dream. I love the idea. I'm not sure how realistic that is, but you can shoot a little lower and still make your football team a better football team.
Yeah, Elliot. And that's probably what they have to be doing, I think. This is not going to be your normal trade deadline, but it is going to be something I think, and I hope that the Patriots are active in. So we'll get to all of that here with your phone call. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, Gerard Mayo. An update on Drake May, still in the protocol. Will he play? Andy thinks so. I'm not sure. And what happened to protecting the quarterback? But first, here's Stiz with what's trending.